Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, I want to share with you a message this morning. I'm just going to go a little bit further forward. Sorry, Corey. He's worked so hard. He's working hard for me today, isn't he? Doing all these things and I'm messing them up. And it's a bit edgy, the title of my message this morning. It's called The Dreamer and the Dream Killer. A little bit edgy. Or if you think that's a bit edgy, hashtag piggyback faith. And most of us in the room have had a dream of some sort. Most of us have got either a small dream or a large dream. Some of you like are really big dreamers. Some of us not so much. You know, you might have a dream to travel, a dream to get married, some sort of a dream in your life. But my son Mark, when he was just 9 years old, he had a dream to be a filmmaker. He had this passion just from a young boy to one day make movies, big movies that would go on the big screen. And this dream has stuck with him all the way through high school. And he got to about year 11. And in year 11, you meet with the career counsellor. And they start to have conversations with you about how you're going to live your dream, how you're going to fulfil the career passion that you have. And so he met with his teacher, his careers advisor, and he said, I want to be a movie maker. I want to make movies and get on the big screen. And to do that, I want to go to VCA, which is one of the world's leading filmmaking schools. And as you can imagine, the careers advisor was excited and like, wow, that's fantastic. No. The careers advisor told him that was a bad plan. It was impossible. There's no way you could possibly, first of all, get into that school. It's impossible. And secondly, that's an out there dream that is just like a fantasy. You can't make a living. You need another dream. You need a different plan. You need an alternate career. I call her a dream killer. But you know what? I actually can relate to the dream killer. I am a dream killer. I feel for that teacher. I understand where she was coming from. It's exactly probably what I would have said, but as a mum, I was tried not to. You know what? Richard is the dreamer. My husband, the man who was here just before, that's my husband, Richard, and he is the dreamer of dreamers. And I am the dream killer of dream killers. So I want to help us today, because I know as I'm talking, you're like, you're a dreamer, you're a dreamer, you're the dream killer. All of us in the room are like, pick me this way, pick me that way. We know that we either fit into leaning towards dreamer or dream killer. And I think I've got some stuff that's going to help all of us today in this room. Amen? So why are some of us dream killers? Well, we just can't imagine what you're dreaming. We just can't see it. We just can't see how it is even possible to get where you're imagining. What we do see is reality. What we do see is practicality. What we do see is why it won't work. The dream killers think it's our job to help the dreamers see the things they haven't yet seen and the problems that are in the way of your dream. And we feel like responsible, especially for people who are close to us. If somebody really nearby us, like a family member or someone that we really love, has a big dream, we feel all the more responsible to explain to them why their dream is impossible. And so we have the dreamers and the dream killers. And the Bible actually unpacks lots of stories about dreamers and dream killers. And today I want to just highlight one of those stories, just for the next few moments with you before you go home to your beautiful roast lamb and Easter extravaganza. I want to just take a few moments to talk to you about Joseph in the Bible. And Joseph, we find his story in Genesis chapter 37 to 47. It's a big, about 10 chapters. So we'll start at verse 1 of chapter... Nah, I'm only joking. Joseph is actually the youngest son of Jacob's 12 children. And he is a dreamer. He has got imagination. He's got vision. And we find his story here, just the first part of it, in chapter 37, verse 5. It says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. and they hated him even more. Dream killers. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, and then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9 says, "Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind." Joseph is a visionary. Joseph is a dreamer. He sees his brothers and his parents bowing down before him, honoring him, serving him, laying before him, and he sees himself standing tall. He sees himself as successful. He sees himself as important. He sees that, I don't know how this is going to happen, but he's confident in this dream that he's had. He's not like, "Oh, wow, what do you think?" He's like, "Wow, this is what's going to happen." And the thing about a dream is that it's not reality. It's not your current situation. If someone came up to you and said, "Oh, I have a dream," and they described exactly how they're currently living, you'd say, "You're crazy." A dream is only a dream because it's something that is not your current reality. It's something that is in the distance, in the future, something that is not tangible right now. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And a dreamer has the ability to see. A dreamer has the ability for imagination to picture something that is ahead of them. What's not real, but that has the possibility of being real. They have faith in God. They have faith in themselves. They have faith that this thing could actually happen. You know, we've been talking about being more than a conqueror over the last few weeks. That's our Easter theme, more than a conqueror. What does it look like when you think about being more than a conqueror, when you think maybe that God has a blessing for you or God might be for you? What might that look like? What could that dream look like that God could give you? What's that hope that you have for your future in this place today? Maybe it's running a marathon. Maybe it's writing a book. Maybe it's losing 20 kilos or starting a business. Maybe it's shifting yourselves from a small house to a larger house where your children have room to play. Maybe it's helping your own children get better grades at school. Maybe it's having a peaceful marriage. That's something that you're dreaming of, that you would love to be tangible in your life today. Maybe it's saving money, not just living from day to day. Maybe it's a holiday. You know, we're all good at dreaming about holidays, but sometimes we've got to dream bigger and imagine where God could take us. Getting a promotion, overcoming an addiction, living free from anxiety. Maybe it's reconciling with your children. There's so many things in this room. As I say, what's your dream? What could you imagine? Your minds go in so many places that it's impossible for me to articulate. But what are you dreaming? What is that dream that's ahead? Because God wants us to dream and he wants us to have the faith for it. Joseph was a dreamer, but his brothers and his family were dream killers. They saw his dream, his imagination, his statement of what he saw ahead as plain pride. They just saw that he was just full of himself and wanted to rule over them. They thought he was boastful and just showing off. Their reaction to Joseph's dream was hatred, jealousy, negativity, and intimidation. In Genesis 37, verses 19 to 20, they see Joseph coming in the distance. The father has sent Joseph to bring some food to his brothers, and they see him coming in the distance. And he's already told them his dream, and their hearts are angry towards him. And this is their response. They say, "Then they said to one another," in Genesis 37, "Then they said to one another, 'Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beasts have devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dream then. Let's kill him and see if he can live that dream that he had. Let's kill him and see if he can rule over us. And dreamers and dream killers are presented with exactly the same picture. In front of them is the same opportunity, is the same possible future. The difference is how we see the picture. The difference is how we perceive the possibilities. And the dreamer gets excited. The dreamer gets motivated. The dreamer thinks, wow, this is so exciting. I don't know how, but I'm excited. This is going to happen. I know somehow I will get to what I see. The dream killer is scared. The dream killer is insecure. The dream killer feels threatened, feels anxious, is blind, can't imagine how it could be possible, and prefers to live contained and held back. You know, if that person achieves that, how will it affect me? If that person moves on and lives in another city, where will they? Well, they might not be my friend anymore. I might be lonely if they live their dream. I might have less money if I help invest in what they want to do. How will their dream affect me? Oh, I don't want you to live your dream because it might not help me. My husband Richard wanted us to move house. And I understood the limitations of the house we lived in. We lived in a little weatherboard house and it was cute and I was happy. I'm happy. Don't take me anywhere. No, I don't want to go on a journey. I want to stay right here. I'm happy. Yes, but the house is a bit small and it needs some maintenance and in the next few years it's going to cost us a lot of money. I know all the problems, but I don't want to change. I don't want to move on. But he had a dream. He had a dream to take our family and position us in a new home, in a home that was larger, in a home that could do all the things we wanted to do. Yes, it was going to cost us more money. Yes, it was going to be a stretch for us. And he slowly dragged his dream killer along the journey of showing me. He took me to display home, and my vision. My dream, my ability to see the possibilities. He took me to brokers and home loan advisors so I could start to see, I could start to imagine with him. He took his little dream killer along this journey, and I now live in a beautiful new home. I now live in the fruit of his dream. I now live in the blessing that God had for us, but it took my dreamer to drag me there. There was a constant tension between him, the dreamer, and me, the dream killer, as we went on this journey. But today, my reality is his dream. I now live in the reality of him having the courage to be a dreamer. So I'm not talking about this today as like an imaginary philosophy. I'm not telling you that I read a book about dreamers and dream killers. I'm telling you that I live in this tension of dreamer and dream killer. And I hear friends, I hear couples, I hear parents and children, I hear lots of people in this tension of dreamer and dream killer. And I want to help you today. What I'm talking about can help you, can give you freedom and liberty to go forward. Amen, hey? So, dream killers. Hear me, all right? Listen to me for a moment. We love our reality measuring tape. The dream killer loves to look at the person that's dreaming, loves to look at the situation, and we get out our little measuring tape, our little reality checker. Aha! I can tell you why you can't achieve your dream. I can bring clear clarity to why this should not be happening. Joseph's brothers were very, very clear. They're like, the dream you've had is impossible. The dream you've had will not be part of our lives. You are the youngest. In our culture, the youngest will never rule over the oldest. You are the smallest. You are the weakest. What you imagine will disgrace us. This cannot happen. Measuring tape. And we love to get the measuring tape out. We love it. But we have to have the faith to believe. We have to have the faith to move forward. You know, some of us have got the faith for healing. We're believing that God is going to heal us. And we get our friends around us, our dream killers. They get their tape measures out. oh, I don't think God could do that. Do you realize that healing is not always, doesn't always happen? Thank you, Dream Killer. I'm sticking to my faith that God can heal me. I'm sticking to my faith that I can have a baby despite what the doctors have said. Dream Killers, I don't want to hear your measuring tape measure. Facts and faith don't work together. Facts and faith are in conflict to each other. And sometimes dream killers have to put the facts aside and take on the faith. Amen? Dream killers don't really mean to kill your dreams. When Richard brings amazing dreams to me, I don't mean to kill them. It's just how I see it. It's just how it is. Because I look at it through my own eyes. I look at how his dream will impact me. And if it doesn't impact me, I don't really care. Like if somebody who's not in my world says, oh, I'm going to do something amazing and I'm going to borrow $50 million to do it, I'll be like, oh, you go, dreamer, you go. My husband says that. I'm like, hey, dreamer, calm down. We've got to have a chat here. So the more it affects us, the more that we want to kill the dream, because the more fear rises up, the more scary it is that somebody wants to do something different. Parents. Oh, you know what? We've raised our children to live big dreams, to take on the world, to go and conquer and have great careers and live full lives and love God and lead. And, Mom, I'm going to move to New York. No, you can't go to New York. No, you have to stay within 5 kilometres and come for dinner twice a week. Hang on. I thought I'd try to help him to dream and live big. But it's tricky. There's a tension. We want people to live big dreams, but when it impacts us, it's difficult. We filter their dream through our perspective. No matter who it is, we find ourselves with this tension. Dreamers. I want to help the dreamers. Any dreamers in the room? Okay, dreamers. You've got to help us out. I think if Joseph had said to his brothers, hey guys, I know this is going to sound a little bit strange and I'm not sure how it's going to happen and I'm not saying this because I think I'm better than you, but, hey, that would have been good, wouldn't it? So if you're a dreamer and you've got a dream killer in your life that you're trying to go on the journey with, just saying, hey, let's dream together a little bit. I'm not saying that you're going to sign the contract today. I'm just saying, let's imagine together. Let's think together. We're not doing it. I promise, we're not going to do it. I just want you to think with me. Then the dream killer goes, oh, okay, I can put my dream killer mode on just a little bit settled down and I can dream a bit. And it helps us. It helps us go on the journey. Dreamers, you have to speak out. You have to express your dream. You have to let it out. Don't let the dream killer stop you speaking what you imagine. You know, Richard, many, many, many years ago, before this even was birthed, Lifehouse Church, which is 15 years ago almost in our lounge room, before that, he shared with me that he had a vision of pastoring a great church, that he could see a congregation of people that were all different ages, of passionate young people, of that we would have a great building. And in fact, the vision that he has, we have not even got to yet. What he described to me 18, 19 years ago, we are not even there yet, church. And you know what? The dream killer in me, that was scary, what he told me. That was scary. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to be part of that? How am I going to fit in? That sounds scary. How would we afford that? How would we live? How would we pay for our bills if we're trying to start this little church? How are we going to do this? But he made a stand about his dream. He spoke it out. He declared what he believed was in store for us. And you know what happens? Is now as we're here on the journey, part of the way along the dream, I have confidence in my dreamer. I have confidence that what he has declared and shown, we can do this. So dreamers, when you express it and you put up with some of the dream killers around you, you earn a track record when you actually go on the journey, when you actually take some ground. You know, Joseph, Joseph declared his dream, and eventually, we find 10 chapters later, he was the ruler in Egypt that was able to then feed and care for his family. Because he'd testified about it, because he'd said this was what would happen, his own family trusted him. His own family were able to say, wow, God really is with you, Joseph. You were chosen for this. We will bow before you humbly. And it was because he had testified of it, because he had shared it. So dreamers, don't be shy to share your dream. Dreamers, don't give up. Don't give up. Even when everything is against you, when no one is cheering you on, in fact, when everybody leaves you for dead, keep going. Do you know what? Joseph, they left Joseph for dead. They left him in a pit, and then some camel traders came along, and the brothers decided to sell him. Instead of kill him, we'll sell him. So they left him for dead. He was gone. He was finished for them. Never again would they worry about this brother Joseph. But you know what? It's hardship. It's hardship that is the fertile soil where our dreams germinate. It's hardship. It's the struggle. It's the push through for the dreamers. It's where God actually germinates that dream and it becomes something. And it was actually that decision by his brothers that sent Joseph into the very place he had to be in Egypt, which was the rescuing package for his brothers. So that very place, that very decision that sometimes we can think, it's too much. Everyone's against me. I can't do this. It's right there. It's right there when you push through. It's right there that's what takes us to the place of victory. So don't fear it, because with God, our dreams are possible. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Matthew 19, 26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God on our side, we can experience the impossible. He wants us to live big lives. He wants us to experience miracles. Do you know, God wants every single person in this room to experience a tangible, miracle-working God. His desire is to be present in your life. And when we start to dream, when we imagine, God, could you really take me to that place that is impossible for me to get there on my own? God goes, yes, there's room for me to get involved. There's room for me to breathe into that situation. My dreamer can function. And when the dream killer says, oh, I don't know, but I'm just going to try. God gets excited because he sees that our ability to have faith and vision is growing. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power in us. Whatever it is, think bigger. Little dreamer, little tiny dreamer, just dream a little bit bigger. God can do more than we could possibly ask or imagine. And I wanted to just really shake the dream killers in the room this morning. I want to grab you by the arms and just give you a little, just a little shake. And I want to say, let's become dream champions. Let's become people who can come alongside the dreamers and actually inspire them and encourage them and push them forward and say, oh, it's a scary dream, but I believe in you. I'm with you. I'm for you. I think you can take us somewhere. Let's be people who actually celebrate other people's faith. Let's not be dream killers. When someone says, oh, I'm going to do this, in your mind, when you go, that's just stupid. No, you go, wow, how exciting. I believe in you. I believe you can do that. Because our dreams are not just for ourselves. You know what? Every dreamer in the room, your dream has the capacity to carry others, to influence others, to help others. You know, the business that you want to start is actually going to employ your dream killer's children. The dreamers in the room are going to actually carry the rest of us on this journey. And God used Jacob, the dreamer, to protect his nation from destruction. God used Joseph. He pulled Joseph and he took Joseph on this journey and he showed it to his brothers. But we see in Genesis chapter 47, verses 5 and 6, says, then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your fathers and your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, make them chief herdsmen over the livestock. In the end, it's Joseph's dream that actually rescues his family from starvation. It rescues his nation. In the end, they're given the best land. These dream killers got the best land to live on. The dream killers got the best jobs. All of a sudden, the dream killers, guys, you know, you really weren't helpful, but God's looked after you anyway. So when we start to understand, come on, that the dreams and the plans that we have, if we have the confidence to live them, others are blessed by them. And I call this piggyback faith. Piggyback faith, because some of us aren't really big dreamers. Some of us it's just not how we're wired, and that's okay. Just find somebody's faith or dream and vision that you can piggyback on. Find somebody that you can get behind and say, I'm on the ride with you. I'm with you. I'm going on this journey with you. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but we're going to get there. And many of you might say, why on earth would she talk about this on Easter Sunday? I thought I was going to hear a message about Jesus being resurrected. Well, can I tell you that Jesus was the biggest dreamer there was? Jesus came to earth with the most massive dream that could ever have been imagined. He came with a dream that every single one of us would find hope and freedom and victory through what he was going to do. He came onto the earth and said, I have a dream that I will actually set every human heart free, that every human heart will experience salvation and freedom from sin because of my blood. My dream is that I will actually go into death and conquer death and rise again, and in doing that, liberate the human race so they can have hope, so they can have relationship. And even more, that's not the end of his dream. You know what? Jesus had dream killers all around him. He had the Pharisees. Do something. Show us how you can do what you're talking about. Do a sign. Do a wonder. He had Peter. Jesus declared, I'm going to come and die. I'm going to be risen again on the third day. And his disciple Peter says to him, Jesus, come over here on the side. Just want to have a chat. What's wrong with you? You're crazy. Jesus had dream killers. Jesus had dream killers at every turn. He had many dream killers. They've all come out of my mind. I've got more here for you. Come on. Because they're good ones. Satan himself. Come on. How could I forget him? Took him out into the desert for 40 days and challenged who Jesus thought he was going to be. His own disciples, they send all the children away. The children come to Jesus. They go, no, what's wrong with you? Jesus is not here for children. Jesus is like, what's wrong with you? Dream killers, don't you understand what I'm trying to do? John the Baptist calls for him to come, sends a message and says, can you just check with Jesus if he is who I think he is? Yeah. Dream killers, people who aren't sure, they're doubting. They just can't imagine that Jesus is actually going to do this thing and save mankind. But despite the dream killers, he did. He went on that journey alone. When we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is alone. And as a dreamer, you find yourself alone. But Jesus endured. He went through. He took the whole journey. And the best part about what he has for us is that right here today, we can have forgiveness of our sins. We can have victory. Right here today, we can have a relationship. That was his dream, that every human on the earth could have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And some of you today have never even thought about that before, but today I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. Say, Jesus, hey, thank you for your dream to connect me to you, to bring hope into my life. But even better is that we get eternity. His dream is actually not yet complete. But like I was saying, that when a dreamer declares what their hope is, what their dream is, and then when we see some fruit, when we see evidence along the way, we can trust them for the rest of the dream. And you know what? Jesus has demonstrated to us by his death, by his resurrection, by his living power within us, that our eternity is assured. Our eternity is not like, oh, I don't know, God, if you're going to be able to do that. It's like, God, you've already proved yourself. You're already victorious. You've already done all this for us. What is ahead is assured. And you know what? That's what I'm piggybacking on. That my eternity, my life is great. My life here is awesome. My hope is full. Jesus speaks to me every day. But this is just a puff, a vapor. My eternity is sure with Jesus. I will not be separated. I will not be in darkness. I will be in a place with hope. I'll be in a place without tears. I'll be in a place of where I feel complete, where I feel whole, where there's no anguish or trauma. I'm piggybacking on what Jesus has done for my eternity. This is just the start. This is just the beginning. And you know, I want to offer you guys some of the beginning today. And I know that, you know, the dreamer and the dream killer, I hope that's helping some of you in the room with just your everyday life. Because I think we all face dreamers and dream killers every day. We swap between the two. But I want to give you an opportunity to connect with Jesus, because he has helped me become a dream champion. He has helped me to grow in my faith and trust that the God of the impossible can manage my dreamer, that he won't let my dreamer take me to places where I won't be okay, that I can trust between God and my dreamer, I'll be okay. And the dreamers in the room, you can trust that God's going to work with your dream killer and help, so that together you can partner to change your world, to impact people, to carry hope, to employ people. Sometimes we take that for granted. What a privilege to employ people. What a privilege to do something that actually enables others to have hope and value. That's somebody's dream. It's cool, isn't it? It's cool how God can use us to do practical things that help other people.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.